This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. The Kansas City Fire Department needs to focus more intently on the recruitment of minorities. So says a black firefighters group that contends that recruitment of firefighters of color traditionally has been a low priority for the department. Concerns about recruitment have arisen after a Kansas City Star investigation revealed a pattern of systemic racism within the department dating back years. Here to talk about the fire department's struggle to make headway when it comes to hiring people of color are Sylvia Brown. She's president of EFFECT. That's Equality for Firefighters Through Education, Community Service, and Training. That's a local unit affiliated with the International Association of Black Firefighters. Sylvia, good morning. It's nice to have you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Gary Tinney is also with us. He's Executive Vice President of the International Association of Professional Black Firefighters. He'll give us a broader look at this issue. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
We invited the Kansas City Fire Department to join this segment and received no response. Sylvia, you just spoke to the City Council last week about the need to, you know, to beef up the recruitment of black firefighters. I was struck by one thing you said during that presentation, and that is the recruitment of new candidates isn't a year-round initiative. It takes place just for a few months every couple of years. Is that going to get the job done when it comes to bringing more diverse firefighters into the department?
Exactly not. This is why we were recruiting, we were requesting that the city and the fire department develop and establish a recruitment unit. That recruitment unit will be responsible for year-round recruitment for minorities, and this would eliminate the issue of not being able to get enough minority candidates to even apply for the positions.
Gary Tinney, does that make sense to you, bringing aboard some type of recruitment unit? Is that maybe the more accepted way to do it across the industry?
Most definitely. I mean, in order to, if you really want to make change, those are one of the initiatives that you should definitely support in your department. If you have a recruitment unit, then they're very specific about what they need to do, the outreach in the communities. And then what they can do also is utilize our chapters throughout the country to help them.
You know, Sylvia, I'm just struck. Kansas City's a fairly big city department. Why isn't this a year-round push?
Well, as stated in our meeting with the council, it's just not a priority. And traditionally, well, let's just go back a little bit in time. Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department became a paid fire service back in 1868. Moving forward, we only have had one African-American or minority director, and that was Director Wilson, and his tenure ended in 1981. So when it's not a priority for you and you're not actively seeking out communities where minorities predominantly live, then you are just not going to have the numbers that you should have. You're not going to have the representation from the fire department regarding the communities which it serves. And it also creates another problem, delivery of the services. If you don't have individuals who look like the people that they serve, which those individuals will care about the people in those communities or even speak the language of the community in which they're served, you're going to have a serious problem moving forward in terms of public safety, proper delivery of services.
Gary, how important is it to have firefighters who look like the people in the communities they serve?
It's very important. I mean, you think about, thinking about where I grew up, and I grew up in New Haven, Connecticut, and the firehouse that I was assigned to, it's exactly where I grew up. But when you respond to scenes, even with fire and police, it's the same, pretty much not the same service, but it's the same kind of impact when you pull up on a scene and they see people of color if they see a female firefighter. I can't tell you how many times that incidents would have escalated if not I didn't know the individuals house who I responded to. So it plays a major part. And then you talk about people in your community that when you hire folks from your community, you talk about the financial impact also, because that money is going to stay within that community. We did a study in New Haven a few years ago where over $18 million was being outsourced just in the fire department alone because they would hire individuals from outside the city. So again, when the young folks see us, when we go to the schools, we do community risk reduction or fire prevention, and we walk into these schools and the majority black and brown folks, when they see firefighters that are black and brown, it sends a message, a strong message.
Hey, Sylvia, is there an ample supply of recruits of color that potentially could be joining the Kansas City Fire Department, or is there a shortage out there?
A shortage of people, minorities actively wanting to recruit for the fire department?
Yes.
I understand if that's the question.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, there is. We have a lot of members of our organization who has actively been participating in recruitment efforts for years. We also have those within the fire department that if a platform was built or established to recruit, would volunteer in droves. So yes, there is a population out there that's willing to roll their sleeves up, put their boots to the ground, and do the recruitment work. We, the department and the city, just need to create a platform in which they can work through.
Hey, Gary, what's your sense, nationally speaking, is there a good supply of potential black firefighter recruits out there, or is there a shortage across the country?
No, they're definitely there. Just what comes to mind is we introduced a public safety academy about 13 years ago. And what that does, it introduces the public safety career paths in the high schools and even in junior high. So it and then we also go to the local colleges and universities. So the pool is there. It's just trying to get through that iron gate with pertaining to the systemic racism in the fire service. And again, with the public safety academy and those initiatives in the high schools, folks don't realize that the majority of the fire service is volunteer departments. And volunteer departments are coming from rural towns, but they're coming in. They're getting those certifications that our young folks aren't exposed to. So if we expose our young folks to those certifications and we hire right from the high school, we some cities are doing a direct entry. So the folks that complete those programs in the high school, as soon as they turn 18 years old, they're eligible for to become firefighters.
Sylvia Brown, what is the Kansas City Fire Department's reputation when it comes to among people of color? What do you sense?
Well, it's a sense of distrust, frustration, and lack of concern for their issues.
And that reputation is fairly widely held among people of color, do you think, who might be coming aboard, might be interested potentially in the Kansas City Fire Department?
Well, yes, there is some reluctancy to recruit minorities coming on board for some of the very reasons that we are addressing today. And again, that's why we're asking for a recruitment unit to be put in place so that we can go out there all year long, work with these minorities, as Gary said, from the earlier ages through the age of requirement for employment. And if there were any concerns, by working with these individuals year-round, we could help eliminate those concerns and make them feel more comfortable seeking employment with the department.
You know, I wanted to point out that the STARS investigation found that in a city in which nearly 30% of the population is black, less than 14% of firefighters are black, and even fewer black men and women are captains and above. That was maybe one focal point of the STARS very good series here. One other point I wanted to ask you here about, Sylvia. You told the council that the recruitment effort is conducted by employees who have little expertise in attracting a diverse workforce. Tell me about that.
Well, historically, in addition to the 1 to 2 month recruitment efforts during the hiring year, the department has a modified duty personnel. These are individuals who have become injured on the job, and through our contract, they are allowed to still receive their paychecks, but they are not actively out in the field. So what the department has done is they will take these individuals, and if there is some type of recruiting event coming up, they will throw those individuals, and this is not by choice, they mandate that these individuals go to these recruitment events and attempt to recruit minorities. They set up a table, throw some fire department pamphlets or information on these tables, and pretty much they just sit there all day talking amongst themselves, and they're not even interacting within the event itself. And that has been the effort of recruitment of minorities that the department has done.
Hey, Gary, does that strike you as unusual, or have you heard of other departments that sort of provide a patchwork system of recruiters, if you will?
No, I think Ms. Brown hit the nail on the head. She, when you talk about folks showing up at schools or wherever they show up during recruitment initiatives, they're there for a photo op the majority of the time. You know, you sit there, you're there for a day, you take pictures, but it's not, it really doesn't put you in a position where you're going to recruit folks. So yeah, to answer your question, yeah, that's a practice that many departments use. But fortunately, our organization, and many of, you know, many of our organizations, we go out, we hit the streets, we go to the churches, we do the necessary groundwork, and we volunteer to do these things to make sure that the communities we serve know that these opportunities are coming. And it's you know, everything that I've read in that article with Kansas City and everything that Ms. Brown has mentioned in those interviews, it's systemic around the country and beyond. Matter of fact, I feel it's getting worse.
Well, given that, Sylvia, the fact that Gary just pointed out it might be getting worse, what's holding Effect, your organization, it's called Effect, what's holding it back from filing some kind of lawsuit?
Well, several lawsuits have currently already been filed on behalf of this issue. We just settled out a lawsuit this year that involved a battalion, Black battalion chief, who had defended and filed a grievance on behalf of a Black cadet who was in the fire academy, who was called a series of the N-word. So once he did that, there was backlash and pushback on that for him, and he was passed over for promotion for a deputy spot. So, excuse me, sorry.
Do those lawsuits tend to make any difference, Sylvia?
Actually not. If they made a difference, we wouldn't even be here talking on your show today.
Right.
The department's position on that has been put money aside through legal to take care of any kind of money that may be won through settlement, but they never require or demand the department to go back and re-evaluate and do something different within the policy that has been violated.
We're talking this morning here on Up to Date about the need to more intently recruit minorities to the Kansas City, Missouri Fire Department and what's holding that effort back. If you want to join our conversation, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. I'm visiting here with Gary Tinney, Executive Vice President of the International Association of Professional Black Firefighters, and Sylvia Brown, President of EFFECT. That acronym stands for Equality for Firefighters Through Education, Community Service, and Training. That's the local unit affiliated with Gary's organization. Gary, you've already pointed out here this morning that Kansas City is hardly the only city dealing with a lack of diversity inside its fire department. How widespread are these concerns?
You know, if you look at your major cities, I mean, just for example, New York City, in order to really put the pressure on the city to hire people of color, a lawsuit had to be filed. But what folks don't realize is a lot of individuals or a lot of chapters don't have the resources to sue. But fortunately, this lawsuit made a huge change in the New York City fire. Well, it made a change. I won't say it made a huge change, but it made a difference in many lives of the folks from the city. But it forced the city's hand. Judge ruled in their favor, and it forced the city's hand to come up with solutions to hire people of color and female firefighters throughout the city. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Gary, can you offer a few data points to illustrate the diversity picture in American firehouses? I mean, how many fire chiefs do we have? How many captains? How many total firefighters of color? And is the number actually declining? I think you pointed that out a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, for sure the numbers are declining because what happened, what occurred too, is that years ago you had what you call consent decrees that forced departments, there were agreements with the cities to force departments to hire a diverse workforce. But over the years, those decrees have been eliminated. So what we're doing is we're reverting back to the same practices that occurred 50 years ago. I'll give you an example. I mean, it's probably the numbers change periodically, but probably less than 8-9% of the fire service are African American. So you can imagine the percentage of them who are chiefs. So it's kind of hard to pinpoint that, but there's very few, and the very few that they are retiring. So now you have a whole new group of individuals coming into the service, and they're going to look like they looked 50 years ago.
Gary, is there a problem collecting this data? I mean, why don't you have exact numbers of the number of fire chiefs across the country?
Well, unfortunately, when we go out and look for that data pertaining to, a lot of times the cities won't forward that information to us. So we have to challenge it. We have to file freedom of information. We have to call our attorneys to obtain that data. Some cities agree to giving us that information, but a lot of them don't. And it's challenging, to say the least. So that's why it's essential that we establish good relationships with law firms to assist us in getting that most important information.
Gary, you point to Boston as a city that's making strides to diversify its department. In December, the state legislature there passed a bill to create a cadet academy for aspiring firefighters. How does that wind up helping with diversification?
Well, again, it forces, not so much forces, but it holds the city accountable for, if you look at their data and the makeup of their department, it forces the city to be accountable for their lack of diversity. And it gives the policymakers and the lawmakers to really hold them accountable to make necessary change. And again, it's been a challenge, to say the least. Boston, Mass. We have a chapter there that's working hard to force their hand to do right by the communities they serve.
I want to bring one more guest into our conversation now, and that's Regina Wilson, who's a 22-year firefighter with the New York City Fire Department, which has had its struggles with diversity as well. She was only the 12th Black woman to join the department. It was among the more than 1,000 first responders to the World Trade Center on 9/11. Regina, thanks for taking a few minutes with us. Much appreciated.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Is the New York City Fire Department as diverse as the city it serves?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We represent 23-25% of the population in the city. Currently, the fire department has 8% of African Americans,
wow.
And we just made 1% for women. So absolutely not.
You've described the recruitment efforts geared toward women and people of color in New York as poor. Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, because of this lawsuit, we forced the fire department to do more aggressive, tailored type of recruitment and focused in on places to go for people of color, especially African Americans and women, to kind of have a somewhat targeted recruitment effort, but this was forced by hand. The campaign right now we're still in the midst of the remedy portion of our lawsuit and are still pushing the department to give us the data that we need, as well as give us trying to prepare for the next exam coming. The monitor in place. So although we did not reach the percentages that we really needed to for this last recruitment campaign, we're still trying very adamantly to make sure that we get those numbers, because we only hire every 4 years. And because we only hire every 4 years, we still have to deal with that pool of people we have within that 4 years. So if our numbers aren't increased, then we don't make the progress that we need.
Why do you hire only once every 4 years?
That's just the way it's always been. Every 4 to 5 years, that's been the system of the department since I've been on. It took me 7 years to get hired. So these are the things that the department does, which in itself does not help us to increase the numbers, but this is how the department hires.
We're hearing this morning that the number of potential recruits of color is the numbers are there. Do you share that view?
Well, the numbers of the recruits are not there because it's not a reflection of what the city holds as far as people of color and African Americans as a whole. So it does not reflect that. And we also have to think about retention, right? So if it's taking you 4 years to get hired and the fire department doesn't call you for another 3 years, you've gone on to do other things. You've got other career choices. You have to feed your family. You have to find other ways to make a living for yourself. So we still, within those 4 years, have to keep those Black candidates and those women candidates not only in shape, not only interested, but still be able to see this as a viable job, which we had a hard time doing in the first place, because the department doesn't really do a good job of pushing that narrative and showing how much of a lifestyle change it could do, not only for you, but for your community.
So you need systemic change in New York City, it sounds like, Regina.
We need it like yesterday. This department is 154 years old, and it's a disgrace that we're only at 8% and women only represent 1%. We didn't even get women bathroom facilities for all firehouses until 2016. So that's just showing you how progressive this department is in reference to showing us as viable candidates for this job. My job is 70% white.
That's Regina Wilson, a 22-year firefighter with the New York City Fire Department. Regina, you're kind of take a few minutes with us out here. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And just know that this is a problem across the country, not just in New York City, and we need to do something to change these numbers.
You bet. Thanks so much, Regina. Sylvia, you also told the Kansas City Council about the need for a zero-tolerance policy when it comes to racist acts within the department. This was sort of stemming from that much-publicized moment in 2019 when a white recruit placed a noose over the head of a Black cadet. Where do we stand on a zero-tolerance policy in Kansas City?
Well, with a zero-tolerance policy, just to give a little bit more background information on it, this young man's determination after a month and a half, 2 month long investigation, which is entirely ridiculous and absurd that it took that long to render a determination on an incident such as that. But it was ultimately determined that the young man should have been fired. Our union and city manager then, Troy Schultz, and the EEO department decided that they were going to allow the young man to resign. Now, the language affects outcome, because under our policy for hiring and firing, if an individual resigns, they have the opportunity to reapply for employment within 1 year. Mm-hmm. Any infraction never goes on their records, so they're not red flagged for not being an eligible rehire. What a zero tolerance discrimination policy would do, it will eliminate that from happening again. We are within that policy, they would be required to immediately be in their investigation
Sylvia, I think we're losing you here, but your connection's breaking up here a little bit. Gary Tinney, it sounds like there's a lot of work yet to be done on this front across the country and here in Kansas City.
Yes, most definitely. There's a lot of work, and we appreciate the fact that you guys picked this story up, and that's been one of our major challenges, too, is getting it out there, getting these incidents publicized, because, again, the nuisance incidents, the hiring practices, the retention issues are all escalating in our cities. And I think the zero tolerance policy would help. We have to hold folks accountable for their behavior and their actions. And just imagine being a firefighter and you're in the business of saving lives, but then you got to worry about your own life within the fire service and the behavior in the firehouse. I call it the fire within. Just dealing with those things alone and then having to worry about folks having your back on at the fire scenes and emergency scenes.
Our listeners out here should know that City Manager Brian Platt has been working with the Firefighters Union on a number of these issues. We'll be very eager to see what they come up with. I want to thank Gary Tinney, Executive Vice President of the International Association of Professional Black Firefighters. Gary, thanks so much. And Sylvia Brown was also with us. She's president of AFFECT. That's the local unit affiliated with the International Association of Black Firefighters. We appreciate Sylvia's time, too.